the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. WMVP WSAG HD2, Chicago.
This is a Miller Lite, Waddle and Sylvie broadcast.
Live from Finley Dunn's in Lakeview.
Is Chicago's home for sports. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
Bring it home.
Yeah, beautiful Monday in the city of Chicago. Another awful outcome on the lakefront, though.
Another ass kicking.
Another ass kicking by Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
He owns us.
The 22-5 record with him starting and playing against the Chicago Bears.
So sick of him.
Phone number to reach us is 312-332-3776. As we're broadcasting live. Rare Monday out and about. We're in Lakeview, right in the heart of Lakeview on Lincoln Avenue. Finley Dunn's is the spot to be. Already have some of the fans here. I'm surprised, actually. A lot of people coming out already so far today.
I'm not surprised. You're a draw, bro.
Yeah. And
they're coming here to see you.
Not me at all.
The weather is spectacular.
It's the Miller Lights and the Finley Dunn's hospitality, and I am told that they have the best wings in the city as well.
And we're going to try them.
Yes.
Every last one of them.
We're not doing hot wings today. I was subjected to 60 minutes of football on the lakefront yesterday. I am not going to. That's enough torture. I'm not torturing myself with a hot wing today.
No, I think that should be a self-imposed punishment after watching what we watched.
No.
At any point in that game, again, like I told you on Friday, I wasn't hopeless. And it wasn't one of those famous Green Bay Packer boat racing events out at the lakefront. But really, was there ever a moment, despite the fact that our favorite team cut it to 17-14 in the fourth quarter, where you really, truly believed in your heart that we were going to win that game?
When it was 17-14, yes.
You thought we were going to win.
Well, I look, you know how I feel about Fields. I'm all things Justin Fields. And that was one of the prettiest drives I've seen. And he made some big boy throws after making a lot of errors in the first three quarters. That third quarter was very ugly. There were, you know, several times he threw the ball deep when he should not have thrown the ball deep and nobody was there for interceptions. There was a time when he could have thrown the ball deep when someone was open and he didn't throw it. There were times when he took a sack when he should not have. All the things that we're expecting for a young quarterback. And then I'm like, boy, that's why we think he's going to be great. So it's 17-14, and I'm like, all right, now it's time for the defense to make a stop. And then that's what they did, is they go downfield, and Eddie Jackson is trying to throw his shoulder and do air again. And
maybe I'm just a defeatist at this point, but I never truly thought
I was
that
hopeful.
We were going to win that game.
You know,
hopeful's one thing.
Confident
that we were going to pull that out.
What Fields has done for me is he's refilled my Kool-Aid. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've been a hater of this team and this regime and the way they do business at Hallis Hall. But what the emergence of drafting Justin Fields has done, and with him on the field, is that there's probably times during the game or building up into the week when I maybe give the team a little more credit than they probably deserve.
Because let me give you some statistics here, okay? Because offensively, collectively, from the 10,000-foot viewing,
it's awful
area, they're dumpster fire.
It's
they're
awful.
Dead last. They average 246 yards per game. That ranks them 32nd. They average 117 passing yards per game. That ranks 32nd. They average 16 points per game. That average that ranks them at 10th, or excuse me, at 30th.
10th.
They are who they've been for years. They've got a defense that will keep you competitive, and they have an offense that cannot scare anybody, at least yet. And that has been the story of this team. So while I am optimistic like you that you've got your forever quarterback, boy, there are still issues offensively that just keep you locked in the basement. Look, of my emotions.
My proclamation last week, I thought this would be a breakthrough game. I thought the time and the place was right for Fields. And the way it started, I thought I was going to get it. I'm like, boy, they came out. They stopped Aaron Rodgers as they deferred. And the Bears drove downfield and they scored it. And there was two. There weren't many good plays until the fourth quarter after that offensively. Yeah. I mean, the running game, though, again, and Khalil Herbert, he's got a little wiggle to him. You know what I mean? And he's very patient at letting things set up. I was very happy with the way he was with you're down two running backs, and he showed you that he could do some stuff, and it wasn't a lack of
one of the positives. One of the positives from the game is you got 97 rushing yards from him. Running the football has not been a problem for this team the last 3 weeks. They ran it for about 140 yesterday. They ran it for about 140 the week before in Vegas in a win over the Raiders, and they ran it for 190 2 weeks ago against Detroit. So running the football, they've actually done a decent job. Their problem becomes when they need to score points and you get away from the run, they're in trouble because you can't protect. For whatever reason, we're still not seeing a lot of separation consistently. And Justin's still a rookie quarterback, and I'm not so sure he's got the most creative minds, you know, conducting business.
This will be one of those Green Bay Packer games that you will always remember. This is one that 20 years from now, where wherever we're talking, whether it's on bar stools or still some way, somehow on the radio, we will be referencing the 2021 home matchup between the Bears and Packers as the I Own You game. This is the audio that picked up, and I mean, it was so apropos with a 22-5 record that Fox and the microphones picked up after he discount double checked the Bears.
The score.
You know, there's of course the game again. It's the Packers in the NFC Championship game, known as the game that Cuddy got hurt. There's the time that Wanstead tried to beat Brett Favre on the lakefront and they went for two. And they did not make that. That was a lot. And there are all these games that we sort of go by memory. There's the instant replay game.
The Mikowski, the Magic Man.
You were in the
now
press box.
Now you see him, now you don't.
You were in the press box.
I was.
That game, yes.
Yes. Up at Lambeau.
Right. And it was first ruled over the line of scrimmage. Then they replayed it, and they said he wasn't over the line of scrimmage. And it was a touchdown, and it was my freshman year at Southern. And one guy from Milwaukee came running down the floor in a Schneider. Our dorm and taunting me. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? I got this guy from Milwaukee taunting me. We just lost to the Packers. And this will be one of those games that we'll always remember as Aaron Rodgers. And what could we do? I sat there in my lazy boy watching the game with Mason just saying,
he's right.
He's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not factually incorrect.
I can't hate him.
No, and if he described it accurately, that there was a woman giving him the double bird. Like, what have I always said to you? If you boo, don't get red-assed if you get booed back. He booed right back at you and made them all wear it. He's making us all wear it. Yeah, he has owned us. That's reality.
Here's the sound from Rodgers after the game, as Waddle referenced.
Sometimes you black out on the field. in a good way. I definitely blacked out from a concussion, which isn't a good way. But I looked up in the stands, and in the front row, all I saw was a woman giving me the double bird. So I'm not sure exactly what came out of my mouth next.
And you know what?
I blacked out on the field quite a bit as well, but it's not from like that.
I know, and it's what we talked about last week when we kept bringing up these sports villains, when we kept talking about, is it LeBron, is it Aaron Rodgers, or is it the Bears at the top? That what I always talk about. The reason they're 22-5 is it doesn't matter who they hire, who they draft, who they get, that it's just rinse and repeat. It's Favre rinse and repeat. It's Rodgers rinse and repeat. It's because of the two people at the top who's been running the organization.
I don't hate Aaron Rodgers.
I don't.
I really don't even hate the Green Bay Packers. I don't want to continue to lose to them. My frustration lies in our franchise's inability to put a team on the field that actually is competitive with them.
It's what you said about Matt Nagy's offense, that it doesn't matter if it's Mitch Trubisky starting. It doesn't matter if it's Andy Dalton. It doesn't matter if it's Chase Daniel. Who else under Nagy did he throw? Nick Foles last year for the handful. It doesn't matter. Matt Nagy's offense, no matter who's calling plays, him or Bill Lazor, they don't score points. They never have. And it doesn't matter that Ryan Pace is hit here and there with a couple of other draft picks. He's had 7 years to fix an offensive line, and the offensive line sucks. You know, and it doesn't matter if they fire those guys, because guess who's going to be huddling in the front office at Hallis Hall in their new $100 million wing? It's going to be George McCaskey huddling with Ted Phillips saying, okay, George, who do we hire now?
Well, it was just another reminder yesterday that this is who they are. They beat bad teams, or last week they beat a team that's not a bad team, but obviously we found out was tremendously distracted. You step up in class, and they cannot get over the hump. And a lot of it has to do with the offensive style that they're playing. And a lot of that is due to necessity, because they do struggle to protect their quarterback. There isn't a lot of creativity. He is a rookie quarterback. There's not a ton of separation. And at the end of the day, you can beat the Detroit Lions running this style of offense. But what happens when you do need to score and you need to spread some things out? Their style, which again is in place because of necessity and the issues that they have, a lot of them created by poor personnel decisions, you're just not going to beat the better teams in the National Football League scoring 14 points. They score 16 points per game this year, and if you look at what they've done over the course of 3-plus years, this is who they are. Defensively, they were great in 2018. They were very good in 2019. They were solid in 2020. And this year, for the most part, they are very, very competitive. But at the end of the day, you have an offense that can't scare anybody.
And hopefully the equalizer will be Fields once he grows. But again, I think he needs to get away from these guys. But my ultimate worry is when he does get away from Matt Nagy and they do get away from Ryan Pace, that you got those two guys, again, the same ones who chose Mark Trestman over Bruce Arians, the same ones who chose Ryan Pace over Chris Ballard. You know, rinse and repeat, the same team president who has been, what have they won, 3 playoff games in the last 25 years? So, I mean, I heard Carmen today. Hey, I want Dable. He's already wanting to hire the next coach. Brian Dable is the offensive coordinator in Buffalo.
Yeah.
He's developed Josh Allen. They run a great offense. They run the football as well. They throw the football. They're one of the Super Bowl favorites.
They've also got good personnel. So whoever your general manager is, has got to put quality in that huddle.
Well, that's what I texted Carmen. I'm like, who's hiring Dable? Yeah. Is Ryan Pace hiring another coach? And then if not, who's hiring the new GM? And how is this ever going to get fixed?
No matter if it's
Aaron Rodgers, if it's Brett Favre, or whoever the hell the next quarterback's going to be for Green Bay, it's why I hate our ownership more than I hate the player who says he owns us. I'd rather Aaron Rodgers own the Bears, because the guys who own the Bears currently stink. And it's not because they're cheap. It's not because he doesn't want to win. It's they don't know how. They don't know how to hire the right people.
It wasn't a dumpster fire yesterday. You know, I mean, seriously.
that's your statement about I'm not hopeless.
Listen.
That's the step we took.
Well, these are baby steps, right? Again, you've got a
14
defense.
Points, Waddle.
You've got a defense that you can compete with. But at the end of the day, where is the improvement on offense going to come from? We have a track record now of better than 3 years of this is what they do. They just don't score enough. They're not a threat. And you've got a group inside that offensive huddle that doesn't match up with some of the better teams in the league.
You're never going to get right with that.
The game plan is got to be simplified to protect the young quarterback, but then you don't have the capacity to open things up and threaten people. It's very frustrating from an offensive standpoint.
Where is your level of frustration? 312-332-3776. Are you mad at Aaron Rodgers for doing what he did? Like, to me, I had the slump in my lazy boy where I'm just like, the dude's right. And what can I do about it? I can't. Because my team's the reason why he dominates us, why he owns us.
And by the way, when we come back as well, I want to point out a couple of things that their coaching staff did that has me more than a little bit jealous as to some of the things they did.
It's a good call by Waddle. We're on Twitch, even though we're at Finley Dunn's. Come on out to Finley Dunn's on Lincoln. It's Miller time. It's a great spot. JR just ordered a burger that's like a mountain. I mean, this burger is a sight to behold. Their wings are fantastic. We got the Miller lights flowing. It's Monday. The sun's out. You could sit inside, outside. The windows are wide open. It's a beautiful spot in Lakeview on Lincoln. We're on Twitch, as I mentioned. It's twitch.tv. Our site is ESPN 1000 Chicago. And you can listen to us on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2. And, of course, downloading that ESPN Chicago app.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Now, more Waddle and Sylvie.
Live from Finley Dunn's in Lakeview on the ESPN Chicago app, on the FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000.
JR alerting me that my computer is right in front of my face for the Twitch camera. By the way, I saw the Twitch chat, too.
Yeah.
It's all brought to you by our great friends at 3Chi.
Are they all mad?
No. I'm just talking about 3Chi here. The leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products.
Are they all mad?
3Chi is not mad. No, I have not checked what the comments are. JR usually surveys that.
Well, they said that you looked like the neighbor from Home Improvement, just kind of peeking over the fence
Wilson.
There.
Yeah, that was great. That's a good analogy right there, whoever made that. We need to do, I was thinking about this over the weekend, we need to do like an every hour a segment called What's in the Box. You know, what's in the box? And we read the best comments from the Twitch box. From the Twitch chat box.
All right, I'm down.
You know what we mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
brought to you by a severed head in a box.
Yeah, what's in the box?
Wasn't that 7 pounds? And it's Brad Pitt screaming because his wife, who I believe was Gwyneth Paltrow in the movie, got her head cut off and
from
put
seven.
In the box.
Right.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Oh, seven. Yeah, if you haven't seen Seven by now, I'm not going to worry about spoiling it for you. 20. That's on you.
All right, we have people want to talk, but you want to compliment and in a way say what the Bears don't do
in an envious way.
Yes,
I mean this is what you're. What happened in the first couple of drives that the Packers had the football? The Bears were getting after them, and I sent you guys a text and said, "Look, unless they change some things up, the Packers aren't going to be able to hang with this Bears front the entire game." They lost their center. Their center's a rookie. He came back from a finger injury. He goes out in this game with a knee injury. So they had more adversity to handle. But they were talking about attacking the Bears up front. This is a quote from Matt LaFleur. Early on, we tried a lot more outside zone. And that wasn't working too well. And then we started to go a little bit more downhill, and we seemed to have a little bit more success with that. And so we kind of shifted, I'd say, mid-game. But, you know, that's a credit to that defense. I mean, that defense is one of the tops in the NFL. It's tough to run against. It's tough to throw against. So what the Packer offense did, and again, it helps when you have one of the top five quarterbacks in the history of the NFL at your disposal. But the job of a coach is to see what the opponent is doing and then make the necessary adjustments. What the Bears were doing and what they do quite well is they penetrate, whether it's Akeem or it's Robert Quinn or it's Akeem Hicks, it's Khalil Mack, whoever it is. They were getting in and creating penetration. So what they did, instead of trying to attack the edges with the zone runs, they went right ahead at them. And then they started to use the Bears' defensive aggression against them by running screens. And then we bring the big back in, and now we're going to run A.J. Dillon. And it's just what a coaching staff should do. Now, again, I get it. They've got a huddle filled with more than what we have. But you still have to make the necessary adjustments. And that's
it's
why
it's incredible, right?
I mean,
that's what we want.
That's what you
want.
We want
an offensive guy who can, even with the greatest quarterback, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, says, "What we schemed, what we spent all week working on, isn't working. We got to adjust here to run the ball."
Right. That's why, even like, what you, and we talk about the go back to the Cleveland game, which again was a dumpster fire.
Never they adjusted.
Well, it's like 30 minutes into that game, and that's a long period of time. 10 minutes into that game, you should have done the same thing. You should have seen what the Cleveland Browns were doing that was affecting you negatively and switched instantaneously. That's what the Packers do. Again, yeah, I get it.
Of course.
I get it. They got Aaron Rodgers, but it's also a philosophy that the better coaches and the better teams
but
actually
that, that's
into
even
place.
The point, Waddle. They have Aaron Rodgers, and he's not ramming his head against the wall saying,
right,
we got Rodgers, so we still must throw it a million times. They have Aaron Rodgers, and they even can check their ego and say, we're not – what we game planned wasn't right. We need to move on from that. We had a rookie quarterback, we as the Bears, and he didn't recognize that he gave him too much to digest. Rick on the north side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Hey, Sylvie and Tommy, I was going to – I wanted to say one thing. I give kudos to Khalil Herbert. He's tremendous for a rookie to step in, have all the weight on his shoulders. It was tremendous yesterday. But the thing that really bothers me is that they're front line. They get away too much credit. You know, Eddie Goldman, I don't know if he's made a tackle in 3 weeks. Akeem Hicks, he comes through the middle, chases Rodgers down, falls on him. He's so fat, he trips over his gut, and now he's hurt again.
Well, he has a groin. He probably came back before it was healed.
But hold on. Let me ask you a question real quick, Rick. After what you saw yesterday, and again, our offense, let me give you the numbers. They averaged 246 yards per game last, 117 passing yards per game last, 16 points per game, 30th in the league. We scored 14 points as a team yesterday, and really, truly, the one thing that chaps your ass more than anything is our defensive line. Look, I get it. They're not perfect, and at the end of the day, the Packers ran for 154 yards, but that's what's chapping your ass most today? Rick?
I think you win.
Rick, hung up.
Look, I wasn't trying to be pushy. The reality is, I mean, really? That's what you come at?
Yeah.
Khalil Mack has got like 6 sacks on the season. Robert Quinn is playing all pro caliber football. Akeem Hicks is playing with half a groin. Have you ever tried to play with half a groin? Roquan Smith is a pro bowler.
Every day I play with a half a groin.
All pro. Now, again, if you want to argue that once the opponent gets past your front 7, we don't have a chance to tackle them, that's a different story. But when you come into a Monday where our offense, again, couldn't eclipse, 300 yards, and your biggest beef is our defensive line didn't do enough, I got to say that I don't understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, and later I want to play you what Matt Nagy said about why they don't score points, because I believe he referenced the defense too. And now, look, at this point, I don't like Matt Nagy as my team's football coach. I want him out. I want Pace out. But I think I heard something that I could not believe, unless I misheard it. We'll play that in a little bit. Jeff in Lakeview, I think, is one of our guys who has listened to us for a while who's pissed at me. Jeff, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Thanks, guys, so much. You're exactly right. First, I'm pissed at you guys today, but in general, I love you guys. You gave some of the Rodgers numbers, and I think actually one of the wins you were referencing was actually Seneca Wallace's start. And so against Rodgers, we're 4-22. Losing by 10 points a game. Now, Sylvie, you're probably the strongest voice in Chicago sports media about needing to burn it all down, start at the top, and no improvement happens until that happens. But on Friday, you thought the Bears were going to beat the Packers and we were going to be in first place. Now, that doesn't mean that you thought we were going to, win the division or win it all, but let's just look back at the wins against Rodgers where we end up in first place. 2018, a bounce away from the NFC title game. We were crowning Nagy and the rest of the front office. In 2010, we went to the NFC title game. And even that year, we managed to lose to Rodgers twice, even though we beat him once. So, when you say you're going to win, I feel like that's, you're viewing a 2010 or a 2018 on the come, which means we're close. If management hears that, they think that the fans think we're on the verge of 2010 or 2018. And they know that we're buying all the garbage that they're selling. So, I think we need to be more honest, more harsh, can't bail them out. Personally, I didn't buy it. I bet on Green Bay before the game, and then I doubled it when the Bears were up 7-0 because I'm not buying this.
Jeff, how long have you listened? And I believe we've met a few times, and I think once in Bourbonnais. And second of all, you're in Lakeview.
Yes.
You should be here at Finley Dunn, so shame on you. Now I'm pissed at you that you're calling us and not here in person. But, Jeff, you've listened to the show for how many years now?
Let's call it 10, 12
years,
maybe.
A decade.
Yeah.
Over that decade, you know me, I can't pick a game to save my life. If you're banking on anything for me picking a game, that's shame on you. That doesn't mean that I'm backing this front office or this ownership group on where their plan is. I thought it was the right time at the right place, and like I said at the beginning, I am buying the Justin Fields Kool-Aid. Other than that, they have no offensive line. I like Allen Robinson. I like the running game. I like that I have food, water, shelter with Bill Lazor as far as a basic play caller. But you know how I feel about this team, Jeff. Just because I picked them,
I think this was
are you all pissed at me because I picked the Bears and you think I'm not holding their feet to the fire?
I think this was a time and place pick as well. This was about the Packers not being the team in week 6 that they're going to be in week 12, 13, or 14. Their offensive line had been banged up. Their defense. Look, again, I can give you the offensive numbers. And if you can't move the ball and do more, they don't have their top pass rusher and three of their top corners.
But he's saying that I'm enabling them by picking them.
Tommy, no, when was the last time and place win? When was the last time and place win we had? I get it's a time and place pick, but we've had two in the last 10 years.
No, I get it.
My beef, Sylvie, is when George is listening to your show and he hears you pick the Packers, he thinks Sylvie, Sylvie's got the hot takes, but he thinks we're on the verge of 2010. I hope not, too. We should write him a letter together.
There's Jeff.
Well, I just think that would be a cherry-picking moment to step in and hear that and then make a long-term conclusion out of what you think. I think one of the themes of this show for the last several years has been this is who they are. They beat bad teams. They don't beat good teams. And until you make a ton of changes, that trend won't change itself.
All right. Your phone calls, even if you want to challenge us. I always tell people who are mad at us on Twitter, mad about a tweet, call the show. We'll always give you the floor, 312-332-3776. Didn't Matt Nagy really blame the defense for not scoring enough points offensively? I want to see if I heard this correctly. We'll listen together coming up. We're live at Finley Dunn's. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
Live from Finley Dunn's in Lakeview on the ESPN Chicago app, on the FM 100.3 HD2, and on ESPN 1000.
Let the Miller Lite flow.
My guy Jim tweets and he says, Jeff is right. Caller Jeff who just called. George listens to your Friday shows and you're always selling hope. And he thinks it means that all is well in Bears world.
He still thinks I need to get better, which is true. But
he adds, he goes, this is the tweet, not me saying. He says, George is a bit of a doofus, so don't discount what Jeff said. Stop selling Bears hope. I mean, look, I like the kid. I like Fields. I'm excited.
Was that a Justin Fields pick more than it was a Chicago Bears
pick?
Yeah,
I felt like they had a good bait. Again, like I explained it last week, you'd won two in a row. You're playing at home. You had a Green Bay Packers who don't rush the passer as well. Nope. They are one of the worst teams against the run. You can capitalize off the play action. They were banged up. And I felt like Justin Fields was ready to take a little bit of a step, and they came out that way. And then his drive in the fourth quarter showed me that he even grew within the game. There just wasn't enough good stuff within that middle part of the game when they could have capitalized.
A lot of poop offense in between.
A lot of poop. And
now, he's got to learn also. Like, my biggest issue with him right now is yes, there are times when he holds the ball too long, but his sacks become such enormously penalizing plays.
Yes.
Like, that's what he's got to learn. Just get rid of the ball. You know you're behind an offensive line that struggles to protect. Just make sure that sack doesn't turn into a loss of 10 or 12 and kick you out of field goal range. There's just, at this point, there's too many big negative plays that come that I think are a direct result just from his inexperience.
So, like me liking Fields right now, I give him, the kid, the benefit of the doubt. I'm on the opposite end with Matt Nagy. He gets zero benefit of the doubt. So when I heard this, Adala sent us the link. Hey, the Bears are at the podium a little early today. So you know me, I like a good press conference, even though they're not good. And this was a good question by Jason Leisure from the Sun-Times, who's very good. And he said, basically, why hasn't the offense scored more points? Not only this year, but this has been a Matt Nagy issue since he got here and was billed as an offensive play caller and a guy who knows offense.
Real quick, to highlight that, do you realize 27 times in his tenure, I believe it's 56 games, they've scored 20 points or fewer.
I do realize that.
27 times. Basically half of the games.
27 of 56. You are correct. And they've scored, like you said, 98 points this year, which is a 16.33 points per game average. So Nagy asked, why hasn't the offense scored more points?
No, I don't look at it that way, Jason. I think that for us, we understand we got to score more points every opportunity we get. Now, when you're looking at it, is it the amount of possessions that you have in a game? Are you getting takeaways on defense to flip the field and have a short field? What's your identity? Are you the explosives to me right now are what signifies the big plays, which you can get more possessions through explosives. You're not driving the ball in 10 play drives all the time. You know, yesterday we were 2 for 2 in the red zone. So that was an emphasis for us, was be effective against that defense in the red zone. And again, you know, when you look at this, I really believe that for our team in general, big picture, we need to work together in all three phases, right? And that's going to be important. If we do that, and defensively we get three and outs, defensively we get turnovers, offensively when you get a turnover or three and outs, you're getting touchdowns. When, you know, not every game is going to be 40-40, but we can score more. And it's going to be complementary. Same thing with special teams, right? You know, just everybody field position working together.
Defensive player on that team, and I heard that clip. I mean, get the out of here.
I can't, but I'm glad you feel the same way as I felt. I mentioned to bring that back because I couldn't believe that he emphasized the defense getting more turnovers, the defense flipping the field. The one constant that Matt Nagy has had since he's been here since 18 is his offense doesn't score, and he's the offensive CEO.
Look, I'm not one that believes this defense is a perfect group, but they are an above-average group once again early on. I think this group looks a lot more like what it did with Vic. Obviously, Sean Desai is a guy that believed in the Vic Fangio system. The last couple of years, it didn't look as much like this. But the last thing they should be doing right now from an offensive coaching staff perspective is pointing the finger at the defense and suggesting Crazy. That they're a bit of the reason why the offense isn't lighting up a scoreboard.
You got some nerve. You've got some nerve, Matt Nagy. That's your offense. You're being questioned about your offense, and you're referencing defense twice and special teams in there.
I don't
once.
Know if he's trying to, you know, to take pressure off his young quarterback, or he thinks this is the way to do it, is to not focus on the ineptitude of the offense. But, like, in the meantime, what you do is you create a division inside. And the one thing that we have acknowledged is, despite some of the inequities with regard to how the offense is played and the defense is played in the Nagy era, he's been able to keep that locker room kind of in check and everyone pulling on the same end of the rope. You start pointing the finger at a defense that is doing their job, that's when I think you get some
terrible,
some backlash.
Yeah, Tony on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tone?
Yeah, guys. My thing with the Bears is, once they need to get rid of Eddie Jackson, and they need to trade, to see if they can trade Robert Quinn to get some draft choices and start to rebuild. They're not going to win with them players. Them players are secondary players that play when people are injured, what the Bears have right now. And the more Rodgers embarrasses them, maybe the Bears might fire everybody and let a football coach, a football person, become the general manager without interference from the ownership.
Tony, it's not necessarily interference. It's knowing when you're hiring a guy, instead of hiring Ernie Accorsi for 3 weeks as a consultant who has no skin in the game other than just a consulting fee. And when Ernie Accorsi makes his pick and he rides off into the sunset, big right. deal. And it's just Ted and George. What they need to do is hire a president who knows football. And they need to hire someone who could and there's checks and balances. That way, when the general manager is doing stuff that isn't right, the football guy can go, well, why? What's your process here? What's wrong with it? You know, and again, they hire these consultants, Waddle, and none of them have skin in the game, and they just ride off into the, well, I gave them the names, and these were the hot names at the time.
It's Tony, right? I get your emotion and the feeling that you want. There's a couple of things that I would point out. At this point, I don't know. First of all, I don't believe you can trade Eddie Jackson.
What about Quinn?
I don't know. I don't know either.
You don't have to trade him. Get rid of him.
You're not going to cut
him.
I would cut him in the offseason. I really would, and I want to talk more about him. I heard, though, Carmen and Yurko still say there's a ton of dead cap next year.
Yeah, financially you can't do it. And then the second part of this, and again, I don't know that you can trade any of these guys because of the salary cap situation they've put themselves in. But if you're asking them to be traded, then you're entrusting the general manager who got you in this hole to trade them for quality and return. So it's just a circular,
yeah,
you know,
the circle of suck.
Circle of suck, as yeah. you describe it. But so you want them to, are you confident that if they decide to trade and try to restock the shelves with draft picks that you're going to get value? Why would you be confident that the general manager that in a lot of ways has put you in this position is competent enough to make trades that you would think would be acceptable?
All right, 312-332-3776. What did Eddie Jackson tweet, and why did he delete the tweet? We will discuss, and what has happened to this player who was really off to such a great start in his career and has really fallen from grace within the fan base. That's coming up next. It's Waddle and Sylvie. We're live at Finley Dunn's in Lakeview on Lincoln, brought to you by Miller Lite.
Live from Finley Dunn's in Lakeview, this is the Waddle and Sylvie Show, presented by Miller Lite.
We're on twitch.tv. Follow us at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
That's right, it's Miller time. We're at Finley Dunn's, even on a Monday, but as Waddle always says, Every day is Miller time.
Yeah. Day.
By the way, all the time is Miller time.
I'm going to send you to Tampa with a neck brace. I'll get a little one for Mason as well.
A neck brace?
Yeah, because you're going to be watching the Bucks go up and down the field.
Yeah.
There's a big old Tampa Bay boat racing going to take place down there.
We wanted to see Brady. You know,
I don't blame you.
I did cover two of Brady's Super Bowls. So I covered his first two Super Bowls. I got to ask him a question in the post game of his first. I asked him a question, too, during media week about David Terrell back in the day. Well, this is when David Terrell was still on the Bears,
sure.
You know. And
living in your building.
And they played together. He was living in my condo building. And then I covered the 04 Super Bowl. And then Carmen, Danny, and me, and Perry, and Berger, we went to Foxborough in 2006 for that game where the Bears lost. That was the Brady juke game when he juked Urlacher. And ultimately, I thought we'd get the rematch with them in the Super Bowl, but Indy ultimately beat them and Peyton Manning beat us in the Super Bowl that year. So we had seen Tom Brady in person in Foxborough, and knowing that he was going to be 44, not knowing when he's going to retire, we're like, look, let's take our kids. It's our first trip with our kids to see a sporting event. Let's have them see Brady. So this was
cool.
As much as I love the Bears, this was more about going to see the GOAT.
And
whatever happens, happens.
Don't pander to George with your pick on Friday either.
I won't pick the Bears this week.
Pick in Tampa.
But what is it, 13 and a half? It's a lot of points.
Yeah, it moved up. It opened up at 12 and a half. It went to 13 and a half. Look at the matchup, though. What do the Bears do? What is the only thing the Bears really do well on offense?
Run.
That's the best run defense in the NFL. They give up less than 3 yards per carry.
Yeah, yeah. Let me play you this from Lance Briggs. This is all a part of the circle of suck, too, okay? Because not only do the Bears always hire the wrong people, and those people never draft well, and then they never coach well, and then we just continue. It's a vicious circle of suck, and then the fans get pissed. And then what inevitably happens is the former Bears who are in the media rip the team, and then the current players on the team hate the former players in the media. This happened back with the 85 Bears when they first started. And
happens
Olin,
with everybody.
Olin Krutz and Brian Urlacher used to hate Gale Sayers and Dan Hampton and Steve McMichael and all those guys. And then what inevitably happens in the circle of suck is then guys like Lance Briggs, Brian Urlacher, Alex Brown, Olin Krutz become part of the media.
Yes.
And then what they hated about the media, they ultimately start doing, and they sit there and they start ripping. I mean,
not in a vicious manner, they have to be critical of the product they see.
Now they understand what
yes.
what we were all complaining about. Yeah. And so Lance Briggs on the NBC show yesterday talked about this with Eddie Jackson yesterday.
Eddie Jackson, you know, we've talked to this before, and his name keeps coming up for the wrong reasons. You know, his name keeps coming up for reasons as you are the safety. You are the last line of defense. When you come up and you make that hit on Devontae Adams and he gets past you, it's going to be a touchdown, kid. You have to make that play. Mm. Get him down by any means necessary. Don't care how you do it. Even if you shoot at the worst flag, still keeps him out of the end zone. Mm-hmm. But you got to find a way to get him down.
He's absolutely right.
That's valid criticism, and in no way, shape, or form on that bite, I didn't hear the entirety of the conversation. Nothing was said that was personal that should have drawn a response from Eddie Jackson that felt like Lance was coming after him unnecessarily.
Well, why doesn't he tackle? I know Abdallah says he's never tackled. And then there's been some philosophy that Eddie Jackson and his shoulder injury has something to do with it. But it's weird because all he does is try to launch himself with his shoulder. He never wraps. He never
Well, I think it starts
tackles.
With him not being very good at it.
I mean, but again, I mean, maybe it was masked by all the turnovers in 18 and 19. And those aren't happening now either.
Well, he was always a ball hawk. That was the strength of his game. It was never run support. You know, it was always him being a ball hawk, being in the right place at the right time, did a nice job making plays on the ball. And there were still times where he's capable of doing that. In terms of a run-stuffing safety or a tackling safety,
no,
that's just not his thing.
We knew that. But I'm just saying when you have to make a tackle, though, you still, and he's right, Lance Briggs. And then so Eddie Jackson goes on Twitter sometime between the end of the game and this morning. But then he deleted it, and he called up a former Pro Football Focus note from 2011 that says, you know, Lance Briggs has not been good tackling this year.
Yes, led the team and missed tackles. Listen, that's a battle you're not going to win.
With a thing. And then why, if you're going to play that, if you're going to do that and you're going to want to fight then with the former Bears and the current Bears in this circle of suck fighting now, and then Eddie Jackson will probably be in the media in 10 years anyway, criticizing the next group, maybe he's not even good enough to get a media job. Like, why would you delete it?
I was barely average.
No, I've
been doing this for 25 years.
You were better. You contributed.
No, I'm just saying, like, Eddie's got a job in here, man.
On field, Tom Waddle has done more for the Chicago Bears than Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, I wouldn't know about that. But
I would know.
I would say that the fight he's picking is one he's not going to win. Lance Briggs went to the Pro Bowl 7 times. Lance Briggs, one of the best players at his position this franchise has ever seen.
He's a Pro Football Hall of Fame nominee, okay? Yeah. Like, will he ever get there? Maybe not. What does that say that he's even a nominee?
He won't get there because in the defense he played in as a weak side outside linebacker, his responsibility wasn't to rush the passer. And these days, the outside linebackers that get recognized for the Hall of Fame are guys that actually have high sack totals. Lance never had high sack totals because Lance wasn't asked to rush the passer.
Right. No, look. Lance had his warts, too.
Sure.
You know, he left to open up a restaurant on the first Monday of practice. If you remember a Packer game, we always reference this. I said this will always be known as the Bear-Packer game, where Aaron Rodgers pronounced himself the owner of the team. You know, another game is that end-of-the-year game under Trestman in 13 when they had the chance to win the division, right? And
yes, that they didn't pick up a fumble. Isn't that what it was?
They didn't pick up a fumble, and they were all taught Lance Briggs just watch the ball on the ground, right?
Yes.
Just watch the ball. Now that doesn't mean Lance Briggs can't be an analyst,
right?
Just because Troy Aikman is one of the best analysts around and has been for years, but he's thrown bad interceptions.
Of course.
So just because he may have missed some tackles and just because Lance wasn't perfect doesn't mean he can't analyze.
Not just that, but to me, look, I don't care if you've played 10, 12 years in the league and you were as accomplished as Lance Briggs or you were someone that never played but is still a good analyst. His criticism was valid.
Right.
It wasn't a personal shot or attack at Eddie. So I don't know why it was responded to in the way it was. Lance Briggs, as a guy who's been there and done that, gave you his professional opinion in a professional manner. And obviously it tells you that there's some sensitive situations up there right now.
His fall from grace is sad because he was beloved in 18 and 19. Bart in Orlando, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Bart?
Yep.
Bart.
Hello.
Hello.
Bart. Hey, guys.
Hey, Bart.
Hey, listen, can you hear me, guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
So, am I on?
Yeah, uh-huh. What are you doing over there?
No, Bart, hold on. What are you involved in? You're about to go on the radio, Bart. Hold on. Okay, yeah. Now you're on the radio, okay. Bart. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bart.
Hey, so, appreciate you guys, first of all, big time. You don't know,
hey,
what
Bart.
You guys do for listening and traveling.
Bart, can you hear me?
I appreciate it. I hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. I just want to make
He's
sure
giving
you
us a compliment,
me.
Like...
Oh, thank you, Bart.
Yeah, thanks, Bart.
Yeah, I really do, guys, and Sylvie Strong all the way.
Thank you. Then now I
so,
get that.
Yeah, sure. Tom, I appreciate both you guys. I had a question. This is not a Mitchell Trubisky comparison. I know Justin Fields is much better. Just by looking at it, you can see the throws are better. My question is, Tom, you gave Mitchell, I think, 2 years before you really decided if he was the guy.
Yep.
Is Justin on a similar timetable or time frame? Or is because his talent is so obvious now, is that time frame a little shorter for you?
It's a great question, Bart. Waddle's going to answer that here after our 2 minutes. So we'll come back to Finley Dunn's, and we also have something to celebrate today. We'll get to that in 2 short minutes.